Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. Amen. I love hyperbole. I love witty exaggeration. I love all forms of playing with words and mixing them up. Sometimes probably trying too hard to be funny, like, I'm so hungry I could eat this pulpit, or sometimes to describe an emotion, I held my breath for days until I knew you were safe. And sometimes to express a longing, I'd give an arm and a leg to be able to sing like that again. Jesus uses hyperbole to teach. My favorite is that it is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Hyperbole. Can't you just hear the children squealing with laughter and a bright little girl saying, Jesus, a camel can't fit through that little hole in the needle. And gales of laughter, and then Jesus snuggles her up and says, exactly. So hyperbole makes us think. But sometimes there's a problem with hyperbole. We get so used to it that we stop hearing it and we stop taking it seriously. I mean, how many times have you heard today's gospel? If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Phew. Wow. Really? But how seriously do we take that? It's hyperbole. And yet, what is Jesus saying here? What's at stake? The gospel asks some important questions. What are the stumbling blocks we put into our own way? What causes us to stumble or hesitate? What keeps us from being all in with God? What parts of ourselves do we hold back from God, hang on to ourselves? Well, maybe those are the parts that we need to jettison, get rid of, cut off. For the disciples, the stumbling blocks are ego and power. Which one of us is the greatest? Jesus, we want to be on your right and left side when we all get to heaven. Jesus, there's a guy who's using your name to cast out demons. He doesn't have the authority to do that. You need to stop him. He's not one of us. Or even, Jesus, you can't go to Jerusalem. You can't let that happen. You are our Messiah. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. You still do not understand the higher way, the way of light, and the power of forgiveness. The disciples are not all in. They see the world in terms of power and might, and they want some. It will take the death and the resurrection of Jesus before they begin to understand. We know the whole story. We are Easter people. And yet my guess is that we are not all in either. Why not? What prevents us? What are we holding on to, keeping back for ourselves? What are our stumbling blocks? Well, one stumbling block is that it's hard. The world beckons. Life is complicated. Letting go, surrendering our will is a lot of work. I think another stumbling block, one we seldom talk about, is our anger, individually and in groups. It gets in the way of our sense of ourselves as Christians, and it gets in the way of our truthfulness with God. For many in my generation, we were not allowed to experience anger. We were punished for it, or in my case, I was sent to bed because I was obviously tired. But anger can be good. The Bible is full of righteous anger, even anger at God. We heard Moses' anger this morning. And anger can motivate us into overcoming our fears, like holding a snake or jumping out of an airplane. Anger flares when we're hurt, or when someone else is hurt, or when a dog is being mistreated, and it's quick and hot and serves a purpose. Jesus got angry. He turned over the tables in the temple. I think Jesus is angry in today's gospel when he bursts out with, "If any one of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea." Wow. Hyperbole. Yes, but also anger, honest anger from Jesus. "This matters," he's saying. "Life is precious, and eternal life, which comes through me to the Father, is even more precious. Don't you dare get in the way of that life for anyone, ever." Jesus is angry, not because he hates the bad, but because he so loves the good. He so loves the good that he's angry at the thought that anything might get in the way. And he's angry because he loves them, and they don't understand. And then there's our anger. Sometimes it's just like Jesus' anger, because we love something so much. There is another kind of anger, however, that harms. And if we're honest, there is an anger that blinds us and cuts us off from our better selves, an anger that is judgmental, mean-spirited, exclusive, superior, and dehumanizing, an anger that punishes and in no way respects the dignity of every human being. And sometimes the shame of it is that it is fun, like a sport. It's an anger that is not from God. And it's the one we don't really talk about because it's scary. And because we might have to change or give it up. And that's a stumbling block. My friend Michael from seminary, in his senior sermon, talked about that kind of anger, the kind that separates us from one another and from God. And he said, "Anytime you draw a line in the sand, Jesus is on the other side." I love that image. Hope is in that image. Jesus is there at the line, waiting for us to return and erase it. But if we erase that line in the sand, we will have to face that anger. We will have to look at it and ask God to forgive it. And we will have to listen to each other. And we will have to restore dignity to every human being. But we won't be alone as we erase the line, and that's the point. Jesus is always there. Jesus is always here, helping us to forgive ourselves for those trespasses into an anger that harms. Forgiveness adds good energy. Love adds good energy. Anger subtracts, and we are meant to add. And when the anger is gone and the light is on, then we can see God's kingdom, and we can see it right in front of us. Last week, Jennifer shared her story of her family, saying hello to Martin in the park and getting to know him. And Mother Paula told us about saying hello to Donald when she found him resting on the pavement outside the sanctuary. And last week, Sophia, the woman who came to help me fix my computer, said hello. And when it was done, she asked me what I did. And when I told her, tears welled up in her eyes, and she told me she was sick and really scared and in danger of losing a kidney, and would I pray with her? And yesterday, my neighbor Ellen called, and she said hello and asked me to pray for her mom in New York. Right there in front of me. And Mother Paula said, it's all about saying hello. I still love hyperbole. I still love exaggeration and emphasis. But maybe I'll give it a rest for a while and just look and listen and say hello. Because I've also thought a lot about what Reverend Peter said to us. Are we just following Jesus around, or are we followers of Jesus? We can choose how we are in the world. We can choose to be all in. We can choose what's in front of us. I choose Jesus. I choose to erase the line. I choose to say hello. Amen.